The last few weeks called Words Matter, or the Word Matters, and we literally have been diving deep into some word concepts, some things that maybe you don't hear every week or often, maybe probably not as often as we should, but really the genesis of this series and the reason behind it is just a passion to make sure that we as a church, that you as individuals are well grounded in the Word of God. I appreciated little man Colin West today quoting a verse. We're putting word into our church kids, into our middle schoolers, into our youth every single week, whether in small groups or in Sunday efforts and opportunities to teach and to pour into them. We want them to have a good foundation of the Word. If you're here today and you're saying, wait a minute, I know I learned some memory verses, but I don't remember any of them, or I can't quote anything. Maybe I can grab a phrase or a few words out of a favorite verse that I've known or learned somewhere in my life. I don't want you to feel guilt about that. The Word is a lifelong journey. Studying the Bible, it's not just one small group for a few weeks. It's not just one Sunday school class when you were young. It is a lifelong journey of reading it in, studying it in, and literally wrestling with it, grappling with it, twisting it, and when I say twisting it, not twisting the meaning, but I mean literally wrestling with it and trying to gain understanding of it, not just buying whatever someone says, or just, you know, just because they said it, then that makes it true. That's the very thing that we want to dig into. What does the Bible say? What am I reading about this particular subject? And so we've dealt with several subjects, doctrinal things, foundational things. And today I'm going to talk to you about something that I think is very, very, very important. I hope that you will take notes today. If you are one of our church youth today or church kids, I hope you'll find a piece of paper in between playing hangman with your little brother or whatever, that you'll take some notes today, because this is something that the entire family needs to hear. I want to talk to you today about heaven. About heaven. I know we talk about heaven at funerals, and we talk about heaven when someone is maybe passing or transitioning, but I think heaven is a very important subject, and it's a lot bigger than maybe you think it to be. There's a lot of misunderstandings about heaven. Sometimes I wonder, do we even want to go to heaven? I mean, do we want to go to heaven, or do we just want to go to heaven only because it isn't hell? Do we want to go to heaven because it's the better option of the two? I'm convinced we don't think a whole lot about heaven, and at the risk of sounding sacrilegious or probably offending someone, there's many people who do not think about heaven because heaven seems boring to them. I mean, I'm enjoying life. I'm at the peak. I'm at the prime. I'm reaching for this. I just stepped through this door, or I just got married, or, you know, so many good things are happening in life that I'm not in a hurry for heaven. I just want all that to just wait or hold on for a little while, because I want to live my life down here. And then we have so many questions about heaven. I mean, we wonder if our pets will be in heaven. Anybody ever wonder if your pets are going to heaven? Your dogs probably will. Your cats, absolutely not. Will my pets be in heaven? Read Psalm 36 and 6. It talks about all of the beast that will be there. Will we be married in heaven? I think I can answer this one. We will not be married. And somebody said, come on, heaven. We will not be married in heaven. Luke 20 says, there is neither marriage nor giving in marriage. Will we have wings like angels? Will there be any other music besides harp music in heaven? All the young people sighed an amen. Yes, there will be other music besides harp music in heaven. We have these concepts of heaven. We want to know what it is that heaven will be like. And even if you haven't thought about this in a long time, even if you haven't considered this in a long time, I guarantee you that when I introduce this subject today, even if your posture didn't show it, your spirit set up straight inside of you, because deep down you want to know and you want to understand heaven. Why is that? Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 says that God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. I don't want you to miss that key phrase that the wise man wrote. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Let me tell you what that means. That means that sinner and saint and Christian and atheist and believer and believer or unbeliever, pardon me, every person wants to know about their eternity. Even if they don't know they want to know it, there is something inside of them that longs for, craves, reaches for. They want to understand, because the Bible says that He has planted eternity in our hearts. He's planted a hunger, a thirst, a desire for better clarity and understanding. He's put that inside of all of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. It's an important verse of Scripture. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with Him the believers who have died. So that means your believing family, your believing forefathers, parents, grandparents, all of those people that have gone on, when Jesus comes back to get us in the rapture, all of those people are coming with Him. It's like a great family reunion. Verse 15, we tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet Him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. He said, I want you to rehearse this. I want you to talk about this. I want you to discuss this as a family, because this is important. I know there's so much sadness that surrounds death. There's the finality. There's the, I'm not going to see them again. I'm not going to talk to them again. I'm not going to hold them again. There is incredible sadness and the finality that surrounds death. But he's saying, listen, if you are a believer, it is not over, and you need to encourage yourself with this, but let me break this down just a bit today, and then we'll get practical as far as how this can strengthen you and how this can help you. And you may or may not know this. I never assume my audience to be ignorant of the word. There are so many smart, wise people in this room, studious people that dig into your Bible, and you know so very, very much. But let me just lay out some basics today, some things that are important to understand, because the Bible literally describes two different places. Does that mean that there are two heavens? What is he talking about? There is an intermediate heaven now that the Bible calls paradise. It's not the same heaven that you and I will spend eternity in. In fact, Jesus used this word, as did Paul. You remember Luke 23, verses 42, all the way, 42 and 43. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise." Paradise, when you search the original of that word, the Greek that is there, the best word, the best translation or meaning that we can come up with is park. It's like a garden park where you might go to take a picnic. You might go to just enjoy friends or family. It is a temporary place of rest until you go to another place. It's not a sterile waiting room. It's not this idea of purgatory that some people espouse, but it is a beautiful place. You're just holding there. You're just resting there until all of this wraps up. And the traditional thinking that probably you have heard is that we go up into the clouds, or that there are mansions. John 14 and 2 in the King James uses the word mansions, and we've all said that. We've been cleaning our little two-bedroom house or our little studio apartment, and we've thought, one day I'm gonna live in a mansion. We probably all wish we could live in a mansion here on this side, but we've probably come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to have a mansion, and so I'm waiting for my mansion in glory. We've probably all said that, but the word mansions doesn't even exactly mean that. The Greek word is mone. It means temporary housing, or hotel-like, or a resort. That's what heaven is right now. That's what heaven is right now. So this heaven, if we continue to live and the Lord comes back and you and I are caught up to meet him in the air, and we go to spend eternity with the Lord, what does that heaven look like? He talked about a new heaven, Revelation 21 and 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone." I'm reading straight out of the Bible today. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth had disappeared." This is the heaven that you and I will spend eternity in. So I think we ought to know something about it. I think we ought to have an understanding of what heaven is like. John writes throughout Revelation about a new heaven and a new earth, and they are always coupled together. They always go together. Heaven will come down to earth. So what happens with the earth? Because, you know, right now we got all kinds of problems. You know, you got climate issues, you've got pollution issues. Right now we've got pollen issues. I barely could sleep last night. Allergies all out of whack because of pollen. That's what the earth looks like right now. But John teaches us that the earth is going to be purified by fire, that everything is going to be burned and then made new and returned to the perfect state that God created. Eden-like. Eden, the way that Adam and Eve had dominion in the earth. The earth, something is going to happen. It's going to be purified by fire, and then it's all going to be made new again. And heaven will be part of this. How? I'm not sure. I've studied this a lot. I've looked at this. I've read the experts and what they have to say, but no one is really clear how this is going to happen. We do not know if it is in the earth or if it is close proximity, but we do understand that we will be able to go back and forth from this city called heaven and the new Jerusalem. Yeah, I want you to catch that, because it's huge. Because heaven is not you and I sitting on clouds in our birthday suits learning how to play the harp. I know you think you look cute like that and you're all angelic, but really, that's not what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is going to be interactive, and heaven is going to be something that we are a part of. It's something that is moving. It's something that is happening. Heaven is a perfect earth, and it's you and I enjoying everything about the perfect earth: the waves, the beauty, the mountains, the animals, all without crime, without sin, without struggle. And we have a city, the New Jerusalem, where Jesus is. And the Bible said that there is no need for the sun, because Jesus, his face is so bright that it will light the entire world. It's what the Bible says about heaven. Do I have your attention so far? We're talking about, I could get into this. I don't have time today, but I could get into literally a whole series about this and teach about the ability to go back and forth from earth to heaven. And I don't know how we're going to travel. I don't know how we're going to do that. I know that we're going to be in glorified bodies, and so there's going to be certain ability there. But it is fascinating, fascinating. And guess what? I want to make sure that I go to heaven. And if I'm going to go to heaven, then that means I have to do some things here to ensure that I make it to heaven. So let me tell you a little bit more about heaven. First of all, I want you to know today that heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. It's not an idea. It's not a state of mind. It's not peace or a celestial retirement home. There was a famous denominational leader. They asked him just recently, what is heaven? And he said, you know, it's a state of mind. It's a state of consciousness. I wanted to throw an apple at the TV. I wanted to say no 1,000 times no, because it is a real place. In fact, the Bible measures this real place. Revelation 21 verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. When he measured it, he found it was square, as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. Verse 18, the wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. In every direction I looked, it was 1,400 miles. I don't know. I've never walked it off. I've never paced it. It's massive. It's just, let me put it in perspective, it's 15,000 times larger than New York City. That's how much that square miles, and that's not even the aerial mass. That's not even, he said it was 1,400 miles high as well. We're just talking about the footprint of heaven. It is massive. How could it be large enough for people? I mean, we have 7 billion people on the planet. That's how many people are alive today. We're not talking about all the people that have already died or those that are going to be born today in the next few moments or maybe tomorrow, this week, next month, next year. How is it going to be big enough for everyone who wants to go to be there? It absolutely will be, because it is a real place. We will have this beautiful, perfected earth to live on, and we'll have this city where Jesus is, and we'll be able to enjoy both of them. I want to tell you next today that heaven is a right place. It's a real place, but it's also a right place, meaning that in heaven everything is made right. There's no pollution. There's no traffic jams. There's no sickness. There's no terrorism. There's no hospitals. There's no cancer. There's no insurance to fight with. There's no politics. Well, I thought I might get an amen. None of the stuff that frustrates us here. None of the stuff that angers us here. None of the stuff that gets the best of just our random Monday or Thursday or Friday. None of those things are happening in heaven, because it is a right place. Revelation 21 and 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Paul said former things are passed away, because when I get to heaven, everything is made right. Maybe you've struggled with sickness here. Maybe you've struggled with disease here. Maybe you deal with chronic pain here that no doctor can seem to cure or fix in your life. But I'm telling you, there is coming a day. There is coming a place where everything will be made right, and you will be in no pain there. I can't understand why it hasn't been fixed here, but I can tell you that if you can hold on another day, if you can keep putting one foot in front of the other, there is a place where everything is made right in your life. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. I want to go to heaven. Next, I want you to know that heaven is a relational place. It's a relational place. It's a place where we will be able to enjoy relationships. A place where we will get along with others and we will love everyone. Why no marriage? I mean, I've celebrated 50 years here, 60 years here. Why will we have no marriage there? I know there's lots of questions, and many people wonder, will we even know one another the way that we know one another here? And I there's answers there, but I don't know all of that exactly. But I dare say, even though we don't know specifically, but one of the reasons why there will be no marriage there is that we will not want to give emotion to anyone as much as we give it to him. Bible says over and over that he will not share his glory with another. And so when we get to heaven, it's all going to be about him. It's all about our worship. Jesus is described as a groom to a bride, the church. And I don't know about you, but I want everyone to go to heaven. I want everyone to go to heaven. I may have youth here today that are saying, come on, get this over with. Surely it's just a few more moments. But I need you to hear me today. I need you to hear me. I want you to go to heaven. I've got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old in the room. I want them to go to heaven. I want everyone to go to heaven. I know we've been dumbed down in society, and we've been told that if we just smile at everyone, if we just have more good days than bad, then we've got that 51% heaven that I talked about last week. Listen, I would imagine it's probably a lot easier to go to heaven heaven than maybe we've always believed it to be. But hear me, I do not want to live my life just any kind of way and be at risk of missing heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want everyone in this community to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to die lost without God. I want to go to heaven because heaven is a relational place. Friends, family, everyone in heaven. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He's going to live among us. We're going to live with him. He's going to be our God and we are going to be his people. Revelation 22 and 2, it flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. Notice this, the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. The leaves of these trees of life that bear a crop every single month. The leaves are going to be used to heal the nations. What does that mean? The imagery that John uses to describe these things, we're not exactly sure, but let me tell you what the word nations means and see if you can appreciate this. The word nations, the word there is ethnos. Ethnos. It's talking about the ethnicities of the world. Every man, every woman from every part of the world will share heaven with us. And he said there is something in the leaves of these trees of life that are growing along the banks of this river, and a new crop is there each month, and those leaves are going to heal the nations. Hear me, I know the world is struggling right now with racism. I know it's not red, yellow, black and white, everyone precious in his sight. Right now it's man against man and woman against woman, and there's all kind of strife, and we need to deal with it while we're here. We don't need to ignore it and say, well, we'll figure it all out when we get to heaven. I'm afraid if we don't get it figured out, we're not gonna make it to heaven. But he said there's something in the leaves, and God is going to heal the strife that is brother against brother. God is going to heal the nations. Can I tell you something else about heaven? Heaven is a rewarding place. Heaven is a rewarding place. I want this to motivate you today. I want you to grab this because you're probably saying, wait a minute, are we working for rewards? Yes. Yes, we are. We're working for reward. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. There is reward in heaven. Revelation 22 and 12, look, Jesus is speaking. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. We're over here saying, whew, I thought just making it was the reward. I thought just getting here was, I was concerned. I think I might have been on the fence. I may have been a late arrival. I'm not sure. Here just a couple of weeks ago, I was invited to a meeting at a pretty famous place, a pretty prestigious place, and regardless of your politics, regardless of whether or not you like the guy in the White House. I've always felt the same about it, regardless of who was occupying the White House. But I got an invitation to come to a meeting at the White House. And so I traveled, and while I was traveling there, they had told me to email my full name and social security number to this contact at the White House. And so I did that, and I wasn't hearing anything back. They said I would receive an email by noon, but I hadn't received an email. And then it was like 5 o'clock in the evening, and I still had not received anything. And so I contacted my contact, and I said, I don't know what's going on. And they said, I've already seen your name on the list. I know you're clear. It's not going to be a problem. And so checked into the hotel and got a night's rest and up early the next morning, and I'm still a little bit nervous. And then I see my contact there, and he shows me an email, and he said, I just want you to look at this. I want you to see this. And there were multiple names that were scratched off the list. There was a line through them, name after name after name, people that were not going to be able to get in for one reason or another. And then there at the bottom of the list was my name, and there was no line through it. And I thought, all right, then I didn't travel all this way for nothing. I didn't get this suit and tie on for nothing. I'm actually going to attend this meeting. I'm actually going to be in the White House. And it was a pretty cool experience just to go through the security and all of the steps and all of the things that surround that, and to be in one of the most protected and guarded places in all of the world. But it felt like for a few moments there that I wasn't going to make it. It felt like for a few hours there that maybe my name wasn't going to make the list. Hear me with a simple story about a house in Washington, D.C. You may be wondering today, is my name on the list? You know, the Lamb's Book of Life list. I'm not sure. I'm living today, but I'm just not quite sure if my name is on the list. Listen, I want you to be able to walk down the street with your head held high and your shoulders squared, not arrogant, not cocky, but confident that, hey, my name is in the book and I'm on my way to heaven. Does anybody want to go to heaven? You may be visiting with us today and you're thinking, wow, dude, you need to chill out. I probably do. But you know what? I get passionate sometimes because I want everybody to know. I want everybody to see. I don't want anyone to be casual in their relationship with God. I don't want anyone to be saying, well, the weather was just right today, so I came on to church. No, there ought to be something alive in us that says, you know what? I don't want to risk it. Why I want to go to the house of God? Why? Because I'm on my way to heaven. And the opportunity to worship with young people on Sunday morning is just practice for what I'm going to be able to do in eternity with him. Touch somebody and tell them, I plan on going to heaven. Heaven is a rewarding place. I'm almost done. Give me just a moment. Jesus said, I was watching when you were loving people. I was paying attention when you were giving cups of cold water. I saw you when you were kind to others. You've heard of the judgment seat of Christ. It's all about rewards. There's multiple judgments. There's the one that determines whether or not you go to heaven. White throne judgment. But the judgment seat of Christ is all about rewards. It's how you lived on earth that is going to determine how you live in heaven. You see, my whole life is about finding him and then leveraging my life for him. I wasn't saved to sit down somewhere. I wasn't saved to find me a good seat over here where no one knows I'm. I was saved to make a difference in someone else's life. I just got to figure out what difference I can make. It's all right. Some of you don't know that. You haven't figured that out yet. I'd love to have you in Discover Church. I'd love to begin the process with you. I can't help you discover purpose in just an hour while we're eating sandwiches and talking about the church. But I guarantee you we can start a conversation that will ultimately build and bless your life. And you can begin to discover, how in the world can I know God? How can I find freedom? How can I discover purpose? How can I make a difference? Everyone has the ability to make a difference in someone else's life. Maybe it's being a buddy to one of our church champs. Maybe it's serving here or serving there. Whatever it is, I want to make a difference in someone else's life. Because hear me, the goal isn't to like this earth. We occupy until he comes. But I'm not supposed to love the earth so much that I lose sight of eternity. Wait a minute, Pastor Darrell. You trying to get us to be one of those grumpy Christians that never smile at anyone, never enjoy the things of the world? No, I'm not. I do. I enjoy all kinds of music. I enjoy all kinds of movies. I enjoy all kinds of things. But listen, when I wake up in the morning, one of my first thoughts have to be, hey, I want to make sure that at the end of this day, I'm still on my way to heaven. And one of my last thoughts before I go to sleep needs to be, Lord, if there's anything that's happened in this day that's messing up my trip to heaven, I don't want anything to detour or to delay me. I want to go to heaven. What am I doing? I'm living a repentant life. I'm dying daily. Listen, there's too much word here. I feel it in this place. But suffice it all to say, I want to go to heaven. Matthew 16 and 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Heaven is a rewarding place. So what do I do? I need 5 minutes, and then we'll baptize folk. And don't move yet. Just hold on. If you're being baptized, just hold on just a moment. What do we do? What do we do? If you've had something born in your heart today to say, yeah, I want to go to heaven too, but what do I do? I don't know that I'm doing what I need to be doing. What do I do to make sure that I go to heaven? Let me tell you what you do. You live for eternity. Don't live for the next paycheck. Don't live for the next relationship. Don't live for the next sale at Ross. Live for eternity. That doesn't mean you have to miss the sale, the relationship, or the paycheck, but live for eternity. I remember, in fact, that old matriarch, First Lady, Sister Marvell Dees, passed away about 4:45 this morning, 93 or 4 years old. But in that church while I was raised, I never will forget being in the men's bathroom of all places. Listen, men, let's stop having difficult conversations in the men's bathroom. Can we do that? Never. Oh, all right. Well, y'all keep on talking about it then. I'm going to do my business and go on somewhere else. I remember being in the bathroom. I was Jude's age. I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And a man named Rudy Hennigan walked into the bathroom. Ah, there's old Darrell. Hey, you know the Lord's coming back. Uh-huh. Stop talking to me. This is awkward. Hey, you know you're never going to get married. You're never going to drive a car. The Lord is coming back. You're never going to have kids of your own. The Lord is coming back. You better be ready. I was 13 years old. I stand here 46 today. Do the math. Married. Have kids that same age. Driven. Wrecked. Totaled. bought, sold more cars than I can count. Done all of that. I'd be a fool to say, well, that man didn't know what he was talking about, so ultimately, the Bible is wrong. No, I live for eternity. I occupy while I'm waiting. I keep raising my babies. I keep building life. I keep looking for the next house. I keep looking for the next opportunity. But I'm living for eternity. That means when I have a bad day, when I have a bad, when things just do not go the way I want them to go, I need to think about heaven. I need to get my mind back on heaven. There's too many people that are being knocked out of the fight because of one bad round or because of one bad day. And you let one bad day turn into a bad week and turn into a bad month. And for some of you, it's turned into a bad year. But when you have that bad day, say, wait a minute, I've got heaven to look forward to. I'm not living for this down here. I'm living for what's happening and what is to come. So we make the most of our 70 or 80 years that we're told we might have, but they are nothing compared to eternity. I'm living for eternity. Titus 2:11, 12, and 13, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. To sin means to miss the mark. Can I tell you that sometimes sin is not, it's not the horrible things, it's not the dreadful things, it's not the things that destroy marriages, or sometimes sin is just as simple as losing my focus. Maybe today I need a realignment to turn things around. You ever had your car get out of an alignment? I'm worried about mine right now. I felt like I was pulling yesterday, just pulling. I need to get it in and get it tweaked. I need to make sure that the alignment is right. Sometimes we're just living our life and we don't even know what's happened. We don't even know what weight has attached itself to us. We don't even know what thought jumped into our brain, but all of a sudden we just start pulling. We just start veering. We just start turning. We just start moving. And what is it? If you let the steering wheel go and the car is just veering, where's it going to end up? It's going to end up in the ditch. It's going to end up against that cement guard rail. It's going to end up in an accident that is not going to be any good. So I might as well live my life in alignment. And just like your vehicle needs a realignment, your life also needs a realignment. And that's why Sundays like this are so beneficial, because I can get myself adjusted spiritually. So I'm going to tell you three things and then we're gone. One, I need to refocus my energies. Come help me just a moment. If you're being baptized, Dale is waiting for you. They're going to get you ready. You can go. If you're here in this room and you're saying, I want to be baptized, you can stand up right now and just follow our team this way and they will get you set up. Be baptizing in just a few moments. I got to refocus my energies. I need to look at where I'm going instead of where I am. I'm a big proponent of self-awareness and realizing where you are, understanding that where I've been affects where I am now, and all of that plays a part into where I'm going. But if I would realize today that I can get all of this refocused, my energy's in the right place. Matthew 6, verses 19, Jesus said, don't store up for your
Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. Work on those things. What does that mean? That means I need to wear this life as a loose garment. I need to wear it like a coat that I can just throw off. I can just lay aside. I'm out of here because I'm on my way to heaven. Number two, we need to reach people. Just being practical today, I need to refocus my energies and I need to reach people. People matter. And so we want people to go to heaven. Jude 1 says you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Bible says no man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. That's the Spirit. But he also said the Bride, that's you and I. So the Lord is doing his part by touching the heart of people. But you and I are doing our part by inviting. Hey, Good Friday's coming, Easter's coming. We got church this, come. Reach people. Reach the lost at any cost, they told us coming up. Because people last forever. Third and finally today, I need to refocus my energies. I need to reach people. And number three, I need to renew my relationship with God. I need to renew my relationship with God. Second Peter said, we're looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, chapter 3, verse 14, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. You know the truth of the matter today? I can't make myself pure or blameless without Jesus. I need him in my life. Anyone else? Have you decided you need him? I need him. I can't do this without him. I want to enjoy heaven, but I have to survive this life to get there. I got to get through today and tomorrow and this week. I got to keep pressing toward the mark. Today, there's people in this room that need to start this journey. It begins with this prayer that I'm going to invite you to pray in just a moment. Say, wow, what a deal. I can just pray one prayer. No. It's the first of many prayers you're going to pray in your life. But it's got to begin somewhere. It begins with my yes. To say, Lord, I want to go to heaven. Right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're in this room today and you would say, Pastor Darrell, I want you to include me. I about to pray, and I want you to include me because I want to go to heaven. Maybe you feel like you're not sure, just like I was on my way to the White House. I'm not sure if I'm on the list. I don't know what's happening. I was afraid they were checking my record. They were finding stuff. I assumed I was going to be arrested as soon as I got to the gate for something I had done that I'd forgotten all about. That's the way some people feel about getting to heaven. But today you're saying, I want to be sure. If you're in this room, you want to be sure. Just lift your hand up. No one's looking.